ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Wave at each other real big. There we go. All right. You may be seated after you wave. Ezekiel chapter 3. We're moving forward here in the commissioning of the prophet. We've seen his call. We've seen his vision. And now we're in the middle of his commissioning. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 9 in Ezekiel chapter 3. The title of the message is, When Things Are Hard. When Things Are Hard. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed by their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Life is often hard. Illness comes, and financial troubles arise. Relationships sometimes are strained. Life is difficult and times are hard. That happens to all of us. I mentioned a few weeks ago or a few services ago that we have the devotional, Our Daily Bread, in the vestibule. And as we were walking out, one of our guests that comes pretty regularly, she said, well, I'm going to take one of these and use it. And then she looked at it. She said, oh, I can get these delivered to my phone. I'll leave the devotional for somebody else to take, and I'll get them delivered. Well, I didn't know you could get the Daily Bread devotionals delivered right to the phone. And so I signed up for it, and I get them to my phone. So if you follow Our Daily Bread, you may have heard about this. We're looking in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 4 through 9, talking about when things are hard. I thought this was pretty interesting, thinking about what we were studying tonight. Ironclad beetles are known for their tough exterior, which protects them from predators. One special variety has extraordinary strength under pressure. The insect's hard outer shell stretches rather than cracks where it joins together. Its flat back and low profile also help it to resist fractures. Scientific tests show that it can survive, listen to this, a compression force of nearly 40,000 times its body weight. Now that's some toughness. That's some hardness. And we're talking about hardness. Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So when times are hard, we have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, according to Paul. There's no promise of wealth and prosperity to Ezekiel as God extends a distinct commission to his prophet. I want you to notice three things about the commission. They'll be brief, and then we'll spend a little bit of time talking about how we deal with hardness. But first of all, there is a specific people that the prophet is sent to in verse 4. Those are the captives. And you'll recall that Ezekiel's ministry is conducted in Babylon in the first three decades of the 6th century B.C. For Ezekiel and his people, these years were bitter ones because the remnant of Israel, of the Israelite domain, the little state of Judah, was eliminated by the rising Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar. Jerusalem surrendered in 597 B.C., and Israelite resistance was nevertheless renewed in 587 through 586. Ultimately, the city was destroyed after a lengthy siege. In both debacles, and indeed again in 582, large numbers from the best elements of the surviving population were forcibly deported to Babylonia. And that's from Encyclopedia Britannica. You see, these people were not unpatriotic. They wanted to return to Jerusalem. They wanted to be reestablished in their kingdom. They wanted to be reestablished in their country. The problem was not that they were unpatriotic. The problem was they weren't obedient to God. And they had engaged and were engaging in idolatry. Ezekiel is about to begin pronouncing judgments upon Jerusalem, and the captive Jews, they're not going to like it. This specific people. Notice with me in the second place, not only is there a specific people, but there's a common language. In verses 5 and 6, the text tells us that Ezekiel was to count himself blessed in that he was not sent to a nation where he would have to learn a new language. That's one of the hurdles that all of our missionaries that go to a different people group that speaks a language other than their heart language, other than the missionary's language, they have to learn the language. But Ezekiel didn't have that problem. He was going to the people of the captivity. He was sent to the Israelites, so he didn't have to learn a new language. But what's interesting is the Lord told him, he said, if I had sent you to a people where you had to learn their language, they would have listened to you. But I'm going to send you to the people of Israel where you don't have to learn a new language. And by the way, Ezekiel, they're not going to listen to you. So there's a common language, but the third thing is there's a certain rejection. In verses 6 and 7, the text says, not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Verse 7, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. And so this certain rejection was revealed to the prophet before he even went to the people. God's telling him, look, I'm sending you on a mission that is not going to be generally successful. Now, the good part is, at the end of the book, Ezekiel's going to reveal to the Israelites that there is deliverance coming. It's just not going to come when they want it. And when we think about the possibility of rejecting God's message, sometimes we tend to do that because we're not willing to be patient and allow God to work in our lives to the point where He would have the time to do what He wants to do in our lives. God's deliverance does not always come in our timing. And so there's a specific people, there's a common language, there's a certain rejection, and then we'll spend a little bit of time here and we'll be done. There is what I've titled an iron response. An iron response. Verses 8 and 9. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Notice with me in the text, it talks about his face and his forehead being made strong. The King James translates this word in the following manner. Strong, 26 times. Mighty, 20 times. Sore, 3 times. Stronger, twice. Harder, once. Hottest, once. Impudent, once. Loud, once. And stiff-hearted, once. You get the idea that this is talking about something that has resistance to it. Something that has a hardness. In fact, in the English language, the word strong means firm and hard. And that certainly is what God is doing for his prophet. He makes his face and his forehead strong. And then it says, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Now, the word adamant is translated in other places as briar. And in another place, it's translated diamond. So what the point is that this illustration, this word picture is a diamond that's hard enough to cut other items. It's hard enough to cut other metals. It's hard enough to cut other stones. And that is the response to the negativity of Israel toward the message. And that message was, you're not going back to Jerusalem anytime soon. It's not going to happen overnight. There's going to be time that you're held in captivity. And Ezekiel, even though he had to give a message that was going to be rejected, his need was for an iron response. And he is given the psychological tool that he needs to prevail. And that psychological tool is courage. Notice in the text it says, in verse 8, behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead against strong against their foreheads, as adamant stronger than I have made their forces. Have I made thy forehead? Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. The tool that they had, that the prophet provided them, was the tool of courage. The tool of courage. The fact is, when times are hard, we've got to be strong. And the way we're strong is we take courage. Listen to what the Lord says in the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Listen, this is critical here for you to understand. The text says that God made his face strong. That God made his forehead strong, and that God made him as an adamant diamond, as a flint. And folks, we don't have the strength within us, okay? When times are difficult and times are hard, we tend to collapse, we tend to fold, we tend to get weak, we tend to get afraid, and yet God says, I'll put the courage in your heart. I'll put the strength in you. I'll put the flint in your forehead. I will make sure that you have the ability to withstand the hardness. Two different times we find the phrase, I have made. God will give the strength and God will give the wisdom in difficult time. The proper response to resistance from the culture, and that's what Ezekiel is facing. He's facing resistance from the culture. And the proper response to resistance from the culture is to become more lovingly insistent that Jesus is the way. You see, our culture says there's many ways to heaven. Our culture says there's many ways to God. Our culture says there's not a need for us to be exclusive. That's the word I'm looking for. The fact is that Jesus doesn't have to be the only way, but Jesus said, I'm the way. He said, I'm the truth. He said, I'm the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. And when the culture resists that, our response needs to be strong, of a good courage, be hard in the right way, and become more lovingly insistent that Jesus is the way. Life is hard, but our response must be firm in the face of hard circumstances. Stand by the truth, proclaim the truth, and God will give the increase.